So when you left, was your father, I'm just thinking for you, was it unusual that your father would wear this?
Oh, well, no, you know, it doesn't, to me, he was just a normal person. I knew he was a bit odd, but he was just, we were just a normal family, according to me. My brother would come in and start juggling the apples or the oranges, and Mum would say, stop that, don't juggle those, James, because it's war and I've got eggs. And he was either juggling or Father was doing some strange thing. But it was always bags of drama. You always knew when my father arrived. You know, oh, you know, production. And I just thought, you know, this was normal house. But I suddenly realised that the kids down the street, they had nice fathers. They were a bit boring. And one day I said to my mum, we're always at the Tivoli. We're always going to the Tivoli of a night. I was always going, because I had to be taken anywhere. If it was at night, when he wasn't entertaining, he wouldn't entertain. But we're always at the Tivoli, we're always at the Theatre Royal. We're always at the circus, because this is the world in which we revolved.
Is this during the daytime or in the evening?
No, in the evening. And I'd be taken along because there were no such things as babysitters. So, I mean, I would go to the Tivoli and I'd go to school the next day and say, oh, I went to the Tivoli last night. Oh, gee, went to the Tivoli. These kids would never go to the Tivoli. And then I'd say, I went to the Theatre Royal. But one day...
Did that lend you any special credence at school?
Oh, well, they knew that my dad was strange, and I knew he was strange, a bit eccentric, and I knew there was something, you know. We were different, we were strange kids on the block. One day I came home, and I got tired of all this. Suddenly I got tired of all this bravado and coming in and going off. And I sat down and cried. My mother said, she was very level-headed, my mum. And she said, what's wrong? And I said, well, Mum, I said, why can't Dad go out in the morning about 9 o'clock in a suit, come home 5 o'clock in a suit, in the same suit? Not like here.
And what did your mother say?
She said, well, she said, dry your eyes and do your homework. We're going to the Tivoli tonight. So I said, I'll give up. But then I suddenly realised, you know, he's quite interesting. You know, he's quite... And see, the kids down the street knock on the door and say, you a dad home? And I'd say, yeah, do you think he'd do a trick? Yes, go in.
And would he do tricks for the children?
Oh, he'd do a trick to the front door if you left.
So
he was always performing, yes.
Was that tiresome for your mother?
Oh, I think so.
So, Florence, come
here. Everything was bags of drama. I mean, if it was raining, he'd say... If it's raining, don't worry, I'll come and pick you up at school. No, Dad, no, I'll get home, because I could imagine he'd step out of the car and say, well, are you crawl into your suitcase, crawl in your handbag or do something. But he was always, you know, larger than life. Mm. And now he'd arrive home, my mother would say, Father's home. And always... And my brother, when he was on the Tivoli, my father never said when we were coming to the Tivoli to see him, because he'd get terribly, terribly nervous, my brother.
Hmm.
He started juggling, and of course anywhere we went he'd get behind the curtains, da-da. He was another show business person, man. And my father said, it's about time we sent him off to learn juggling. And he sent him off to someone to learn juggling.
Where did he go?
Oh, I don't know, because I was very young in those days.
Yes, of course.
And I think he learned by various people how to juggle hoops and clubs, and he had a slight impediment, and my father said, oh, well, that's no good. So he sent him off to an elocutionist who was in Sydney at that time, a Bryson Taylor, I always remember him, and he sent him off to rectify this speech.
Did it work?
It did work, yes.
And where was Bryson Taylor located?
Probably in Sydney somewhere.
Right.
Mm.
But Florence, coming back to the city of Sydney, which is the main purpose of this project.
Yes, I know, it's not very...
No, it's wonderful to set the scene, as it were. But tell me about your father entertaining at the department stores.
Yes. Now, he suddenly got this bright idea that up to this stage there had been no children's entertaining, no... children entertaining in the stores at Christmas.
When are we talking about now that your father did that?
Oh, gosh.
Just roughly 30s?
Might have been. Yes, it could have been the 30s or the 40s. Unfortunately, I never asked. Of course, as I say, it was all established when I came along in 1933. Of course, it could have happened in the 40s when I was a youngster. But he had this bright idea, so he went into Mark Voice. So as a rate, population was smaller, people knew everybody more. And he approached the Foys, he gave them this idea that why don't you have entertainment in the stores during the Christmas holidays. Now you must appreciate that the Christmas holidays were a big thing because you had Christmas Day and then Boxing Day, the pantomime opened at the Sibley Theatre and it went on for 6 weeks, not like now. And they were pantomimes. They were beautifully staged. My brother was in them on the Tivoli. And they did some beautiful, and they lasted for 6 weeks because there was no other entertaining, not like today where there's so many facets of entertaining. However, he went to Mark Foy and he put the idea to him and they thought that was pretty good. But Mark Foy, one of the, there were many Mark Foys, it was a family of Foys, anyway, one of the Foys who ran the Mark Foys in town, he once again was a frustrated magician.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to my father, well, he said, yes, he said, but can you teach me a couple of tricks? Well, father didn't particularly want to teach him any tricks because you don't teach people tricks outside the circle. However, they used to make an appointment and my father would go along up to the secretary at Mark Foy and say to Mr. Mark Foy, it's the secretary, Mr. Wallace, at 10 o'clock. And Foy would come out and they'd go in, close the door, and my father taught him a few tricks. Then he went away and my mother had to go in and pick up the contract. And she said she bought a special edge-to-edge coat for the, I don't know, edge-to-edge coat, for the consultation. And went in and...
For the consultation with for,
and
the Foys.
And to, with the Foys, and to pick up the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, entertaining started throughout. Then I think Anthony Orton's picked it up, not with my father, but that's where you got the farmers, and I think they used to have fairy bells or fairy castles, or there was a lot of entertainment during the school holidays in the stores.
Do you remember going with your father to see him in Mark Foy's?
No, I can't remember. No.
Did you not go because your father was nervous of having you there?
No, I just don't think. No, he couldn't take us to where he entertained the children. Because
at home, no, at but I'm thinking the department store.
No, I don't, because we just thought it was part and parcel of Father's work. And I mean, you know, he entertained us enough at home. What would he
Did he have, he had certainly this photograph where he's got the Punch and Judy props. Did he need someone to help him with his props, or was that something
that
he could manage alone?
He could do it alone, Yes.
You also talked about the corner where McDonald's...
Yes, now where McDonald's is today...
And we're talking about Park and the corner of Park,
Park
and Pitt.
Park and Pitt, yes, it's a McDonald's today, and then previously it was a bank. But then it used to be called Poverty Point. Now, how it got that name, I do not know. But I think actors and everyone in the show business profession would meet there of a Friday or some other days, and Dad would say if he was in town to do business or he's into town for something or other or whatever, he would say, oh, so I saw so-and-so at the Point today.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, and the sign's gone, but when it changed, I think it was a hotel. I'm not too sure what was there. But when it changed over a few years ago, there was a sign to say what it was, but I don't know where that sign's gone, and McDonald's hasn't got it at all. It's not, but it was called Poverty Point.
And there was a sign there on
there
the building.
There was a sign on the building. I think it was a hotel, and then it sold to an insurance company,
So when you say...
They did have a sign to say what it was called.
When you say your father and the other artists would meet there, would they meet on the pavement or would they go inside to the hotel?
I think they just met on the pavement. I think they would just pass and it's just like a meeting place, I suppose, a bit like the Domain. I'm not too sure. He would just come home and say, oh, I saw so-and-so at the Point today. Yes, no. Just
on a personal sort of reflection too, your father did so much entertaining for other people. What did you as a family do for entertainment?
Well, in between, yes. Well, we knew, we didn't really have a Christmas. When it came to Christmas, we didn't have a Christmas because my father was, of course, Christmas time was a very, very busy time. And by then he had several men working for him. Yes. And then...
Do you remember how many?
Just about two or three.
Would they go with
and
him?
My...
Or separate events?
Separate events.
So he was managing a large scale of entertainment?
Well, not a large scale, but it was a scale in those days.
That he needed to give the work to others?
Yes. Because the population of Sydney was very small.
What were the other men called? Were they all Professor Wallace as well?
No. What were their names? Oh, there was a couple of them. And then they branched out on their own. They would do some of Dad's work, and he'd probably do some of their work. And they would come and help him when he got too much work. And the thing is, he would be employed by various families, not every year, but every second year, as these children grew up. And he entertained the jockeys, and the jockeys thought he was rather good because he knew beans about horses. So he'd never ask the jockeys what they were riding, and the jockeys rather liked that because he'd never ask them for a tip or what they're going to ride because he knew beans about horses. And he'd never discuss politics, of course he was rank Labour, but he'd never discuss politics because that wasn't just right. And even today, I don't think Yiddish people should express what they like in politics, because you see, your audiences come from all various religions, politics. And personally, I don't think they should express their opinions. That's my personal opinion.
You say, of course, he was Labour. Were you very involved, were the family very involved in politics in any case? As an Actors' Equity?
Yes, Actors' Equity. And he used to go to the Labour meetings here in Petersham because Labour was a very strong... It was just a very strong area. But he did attend his Actors' Equity meetings. He was very strong and thought very much about that because, as I say, a lot of actors could lose a lot of money by entrepreneurs who were very shonky.
Do you remember where he went for those meetings?
He used to go... It was in Pitt Street somewhere, I think. I'm not too sure. It was in town. It was in the town itself.
And because he was in Actors' Equity, Actors' Equity would cover a number of entertainments, not just magicians or judges.
No. Actors' Equity, I think they are today, but I think it's probably under a different umbrella today.
Yes.
I think it's probably the entertainment industry.
But I'm thinking then there must have been quite a mix of a variety of people.
Yes, it covered a lot. It was the union of all the theatrical world, as far as I know.
Did your mother need to work?
No, she wasn't allowed to work. You see, once you married in those days, you didn't go to work. You weren't employed. You were a married woman.
Were there women jugglers or magicians?
Not in those days, but they have been in latter stages. Yes, yes.
And what about your father's work? Did he have to do other work as well?
No, no.
He earned all his sufficient income from...
That's right. Yes.
That's really quite amazing.
I know, and to think that they bought this house for, what was it, $800, £400. Bought it. My mother was very... She was very good at keeping.
But also the fact your father had a car. Not everybody had a car
so
early on.
No, he had a car, yes.
What sort of vehicle was it, do you remember?
It was like a van. It was like a van for him to put all his gear in.
Mm-hmm. You've got these wonderful photos, Florence, in front of us. Could you tell me about your father's gear, as you call it?
Yes. Now, they used to, of course, they did... everything in those days.
What about this photograph here with the rickshaw?
Now, that was advertising a film called They Meet in Bombay, and it was Clark Gable and Russell and Russell. In those days, before the film came, they would have these... He would stunt for these men. Now, that was a film with Laurel and Hardy.
And this is your father in what looks like sort of Swiss...
That would have been in Pitt Street... Castle Ray Street.
And who's he there with?
He's there with one of his fellows who... Another theatrical man.
And the family dog?
No, the family dog. Don't know who the family dog is, and Father said it was as deaf as a beetle.
Tell me about this photo just back of the rickshaw. Was
this your father pulling the rickshaw?
So what would he do? He'd drive up and down the street?
They would advertise the film coming.
And he'd run up and down the street. And who's the lady in the rickshaw?
Don't know this. This is a film, Dad and Dave, on his selection, I think.
Which one's your father
this
here?
This is my father.
The white beard.
And this was Al Alexander, who was then the president of Actors Equity. This was advertising something, and I'm not too sure what that was.
Your father looks...
Yes, oh yes.
Debonair in his...
Yes.
That's Martin Place.
That's Martin Place.
With his pipe upside down, his gumboots.
Yes, advertising something. I'm not too sure that was.
And this wonderful one with the Punch and Judy.
Yes.
Were you allowed to play with the puppets?
Well, I had my own puppets. He made me my own puppets, and that was me. There's a film of me down in the archives in Canberra.
He made the puppets himself?
He made some of the puppets, and my mother used to make the costumes.
So how would he make the head?
I don't know whether he made... I think the heads were probably imported. But she would make the costumes.
What about this little Punch and Judy stage? Would he make this? It was quite large.
It was quite tall. That was possibly bought... many years ago from somebody who had retired.
And the W in the Wallace curtain. So how your father had a step ladder or something, some paraphernalia behind?
It was a glove puppet.
Oh, and he would hold it up.
Yes.
These puppets that you're holding...
They're glove. I mean, that was just a photograph of me.
Right.
But I had my own little... situation like this.
Your own little stage?
Yes, I had my own little one.
So you would play puppets as a child?
No, I entertained. I entertained after, yes.
Oh, did you? When was that?
After, it was a few years after my father's death, and then, as I say, all the puppets were sold, and mine was sold. And that was the finish of the came
so
the
we,
end.
What name did you travel by?
Wallace. I said my name was Wallace, Florence Wallace.
Not Professor Wallace
No.
And where would you entertain?
I entertained children in private homes like my father.
How would you get those jobs?
Through... probably people would refer.
Did you advertise?
No, not particularly. No. Hmm. No.
How long did you do that for, Florence?
Oh, for about 4 or 5 years.
And then
I'm sorry? And then as I say, and then I was about 18, and then I decided that I would go overseas.
So you did this entertainment before you went overseas?
Yes.
Did you do any work in the city of Sydney or in the department stores?
No. Mm-hmm. No. A long time ago at Buckingham's, I did a little stretch in Buckingham's once again during the holidays. Buckingham's was up in Oxford Street, and I did a few weeks there, but I was quite young. I was quite young.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it.
And never felt the bug of your father's profession biting you?
No, not particularly. I just think that era passed, and my brothers were away, and I think my mother thought, well, time to finish it all, just call to an end.
Mm.
And the puppets were sold, and the magic was sold. My father had he had a great collection of magic, and he had, although he didn't do big illusions, he bought them. He bought books and books. He was a great collector of books. And all that was sold after his death.
And when you say he would develop his own tricks from those books?
Yes, yes, yes.
And you said he bought magic.
He never used them. Why, we don't know. But he used to store them in various places unknown to my mother. He was a great collector of things. For example, this room, that was our room. Oh. And here he is, gosh. And this is me. That was the room.
That's your front room. It looks like a storeroom. Heavens, what a fantastic photograph.
Yes.
So these very large...
Yes,
what are those used for?
Well, we don't know why. He was a great collector of these things. And he just collected everything. Collected books. And posters, I don't know, and tricks, everything he collected. He collected everything and anything, yes.
It looks like a pile of gingham tea towels over here.
Yes, yes.
And when you say he buys magic, what does that mean for the layman?
Well, he used to, there was, for example, there is a trick where, there's a big trick, and Levant used to do it on the train stage, like sawing a woman in half. And Father would buy these. But he was just a great collector of all these things. And he would store them in other areas so that my mother didn't know.
Outside the house?
Outside the house, yes.
So how did you unearth all of these things eventually?
Well, at his death, somebody said to my mother, well, you know, Jim's got a few things under my house. And we'd go, and my brother said, for goodness sake, I wonder how much more he's collected over the years. He just was a great... Like, people collect books, people collect...
Of course.
Like, on the collectors.
You've got this other wonderful photograph of your father sitting down with these two puppets. Could you tell me about those?
That's a young photo, and this is a couple of his puppets.
Yes. They're extraordinary.
Mm.
So what sort of...
this?
You're pointing to this one.
This photo. Well, this photo, now I remember this. There was a film called Orphan of the Wilderness, and it was a story of... These people went out into the wilderness, and they caught this kangaroo, and they tamed it, and they taught him to punch, fight, box. And the story was, and they would bring this kangaroo in, and it's just Orphan of the Wilderness is an old film, it's in the archives, and they asked my father, Cine Sound produced it, and they asked my father to be the ringmaster. And Cine Sound was at Bronte in these days, and I was only about 7 or 8. And I remember going out to Cine Sound and sitting for hours in a Cine Sound, but they made it into a tent, and my father was the ringmaster. And there he is calling in the kangaroo. Now, we sat 5 hours in there somewhere while they took that shot over and over again. And this is a photograph from the movie. But the movie is still around. I mean, as I say, it's down the archives in Canberra now.
Do you remember the kangaroo?
I didn't see the kangaroo because the kangaroo wasn't there at that shot.
Oh, I see.
But that Bronte was Cine Sound, and we sat there for 5 hours while they took this shot over and over again, and that was...
What about this photo with the hot dog stall?
That was down. That was at the show, the Sydney Showground.
Which one's your father?
This is my father.
He's a tall man.
Yes, he's quite tall. And this chappie here, he was a wonderful clown. And this is Happy Harry, of course, he's on stilts. Now, Harry was in Changi. And Russell Braden wrote a book, and Harry is mentioned in that.
What's and Harry's surname? Please?
Harry Smith. He was Harry Smith. And he came home and he gave lectures, talks, on the funny side, if there was such a funny side, of life in Changi. Life in Changi was terrible. But Harry, being a clown and being a comedian, managed to work up a little concert party within the Changi camp. And he came home and he used to give lectures on the funny side of living in Changi, if there was such a funny side. And there was a magician there in the camp called Sidney Piddington. And he came home and he married a lady who was an actor on 2GB. In those days, it was the Lux Radio plays, and they used to go from 8 till 9 o'clock of a Sunday night on the radio. Of course, no TV. And Sidney Piddington married this lass. And my father said, there was Empire Theatre was no longer the railway there. It's no longer there.
The railway at Central.
Big theatre there in those days. And I always remember it was a big variety show, and after it, my father and my mother and I went backstage to see Sidney Piddington, and my father said, I have a basis of an act that you and Leslie could do. I mean, and all this, you know, we had everything. And he gave this basis to Sidney and Leslie. And they went on, and they were very, very famous overseas, called the Piddingtons.
They were.
Well, she used to go in a submarine, and he'd go to the Tower of London, and they stormed. They just took London by storm. And they came out here, and they took Australia by storm, and for a long time, the Piddingtons. But my father said, you'll only be able to do it once. You won't be able to do it going on, because somebody will work it out. And they became very, very famous, the Piddingtons. And then they
retired. Your father helped them.
Yes, he gave them basis. He gave them the recipe of this act. Of course, they went on and did greater things, but he gave them the recipe. She was a very clever actor. She could remember lines, and, they did big things in London. They really were the stars of London. And
looking at this photo again, is your father dressed as a cowboy?
Yeah, well, I was a clown, I think. Yes, as a clown.
And
yes.
I can see, and why hot dogs? Fellas.
Oh, I don't know. It was something that used to come in the middle of all the... They would entertain the crowd while something else was coming on, I think. I'm not too sure.
Coronation up there. Would they have been the entertainment stage for the coronation?
No, that's a coronation stand.
Oh, you can see I'm a sportsman.
That's a coronation stand. Yeah, that's all right. And this was at the artist's ball.
Oh, what an outfit. Your father got the most extraordinary huge feet.
I know. Oh, gosh, yes. Now, those feet. I've got another photograph. They always had an artist's ball at the Trocadero. Because the Trocadero was a great big dance hall.
Beautiful. And what was the artist's ball?
The artist's ball was once a year, and they would all dress up as, something like, there's my father dressed up.
But were they just for artists, or they had to dress as an artist?
No, they were all for the show people. It was the artist's ball. Everybody, all the show people went and dressed up.
What was your father dressed as here?
Oh, just don't know. I don't know. He was dressed as something. And my older brother, went, of course, father had all these costumes, you know, and my elder brother went as a fat man. He wasn't fat, but he looked so fat. He was so authentic that people, you know, they said, "You poor thing, you're so fat." But he was dressed because he had the bellows, and of course, father had everything, you know. And so they used to go, and there was a character, well known character here, who went as a baby. Yes, who was it? It's all in the archives.
Which archives?
I just don't know. But
when you said
the ABC, I think might have. On Street Stories or one of those, they may have, but there is something in the archives somewhere about one of these well-known actors. He was dressed as a baby, and he lived at Bondi, and he got the tram home, and he sat in the tram as a baby.
And this is
for my father again. Yes, here.
Is he holding a rabbit?
Oh gosh, I don't know what he's holding there.
Got the most wonderful pair of pants. These materials are fantastic.
Yes, yes.
And he's wearing makeup there from the look of
it. He probably is.
Do you know where that's taken?
No, I just don't know.
And going back to this photograph, Florence, which is so, such a fantastic photograph, was your house, the rest of your house like this?
No, upstairs it was a bit.
Part of me thinks, it's terrible to have sold it. But part of me thinks, my goodness, living with this.
Well, it was, yes. Living with it was just beyond. And he just used to collect it. I mean, when he died, we had so many trunks, wardrobe trunks. What else did we have? Oh, gosh. Magic lanterns. We had magic lanterns where you put the slide in, and we had magic lanterns.
You kept none of this?
No. I think we were just glad to get rid of it. We're glad to get it. I think my mum was, the time had come.
And so no sadness about parting with any of these
things?
I don't think so.
No. It was sad that my father died, of course. She missed him very much. But she got back to living a normal life, which was a normal life.
What did your father die of, Florence?
Carcinoma of the bowel. Mm. And he worked right up until he practically couldn't work any longer because, you know, you promise children you're entertaining and you must entertain them, so you...
Was that a strong element that the show must go on?
Yes. Yes.
How has his work influenced your life?
Well, I always knew that it was an extraordinary childhood, and sometimes I used to get, I used to think, Dad, be normal. And then looking back, no, it was a very good childhood. As I say, it was a stable. I mean, he'd carry on, but he never ever abused my mother. He never insulted her. He respected her very much.
Did you say those things, though, Florence? Does that intimate that other entertainers were not so
conservative? No, I don't think so. No, I think that considering his work... I've learned later in life other children's families were all a bit strange. I mean, I've heard of others when growing up, their father come home drunk and they had no money, gambled it away, and all that was completely foreign to me. It was. And my older brother tells this lovely story, but he came home from school one day and he said, "Dad," he said, "I need all these books now for high school." And he said, "Here's the list." And my father said, "Well, there you are. Off you go. Get them all. There you are." And he said, "I used to play with a kid down the park." And he said he came to school the first day and I didn't see him for a couple of months. And then I met him down the park and I said, "Oh, Bernie," whatever his name. he said, "You haven't been to school." And he said, "No." He said, "My parents couldn't afford the tracer." And my brother said he's probably a director of BHP today, but and so this is and this is it was no there was no hesitancy. And then, and of course, drink or alcohol or no money in the house didn't enter into my life. And then, you know, later on you hear about when you go out to work in other areas, you think, oh yes, my father wasn't very good.
So your father wasn't so unusual after all?
Not in that way. No.
And what food?
Embarrassing in another way.
But I think our parents always embarrass us. And did you ever eat the rabbits?
No. They got too old and I think they were put away. I don't know. No, you never ate the rabbits.
For the past.
And there was another time he took me to a house. It was out Maroubra. And he knocked on the door, and there was a passage down the side. And he knocked on the door, and a man came around the corner. And he was about this tall. I was taller than him, you see.
A dwarf.
Dwarf. And I looked at him, and my father said, "Oh, hello. Will, how you going?" "Oh, good, Jim. How are you?" "Fine, Will. How's the show?" "Good houses?" That means you're having good houses. "Yeah, front of house good?" "Oh, yes, it's good. It's good, Fred. Yeah, yes, Jim. Yes, we're doing well. Yes, and it's going well. Yes, saw it the other day. It looks pretty good. Yes." This conversation backwards. And he said, my father said, "Oh, well, Will, hope it keeps going. Hope it keeps going. Keep entertaining." Zing, and he chatted away, and he got in the car. And I said, "Oh, Dad," he was a little man, and he said, it was the pantomime of Snow White and Seven Dwarfs, and he was one of the dwarfs.
Mm.
Did you My father didn't even take any notice of him. He just said, when conversations
Did your father ever, by chance, entertain at any of, the Lady Mayoress's events or any events in the town hall?
No. I can't recall him.
Hospitals?
At hospitals, in the grounds, they would have, in the grounds of hospitals, in the gardens, what I remember, there was a lot of charity work going on. There's something, in the middle of Hyde Park, there was a temporary building there, and artists would perform there for the Australian Comfort Fund. Now, you must remember, I was only about 8 or 9, and I remember going there one night. They were doing a special fundraising concert because, like, all artists came together for these. As you recall, if the tsunami, flood, all the artists do something. Well, all artists from all aspects come in these days. There's always the singers and the bands. In those days, it was the same. During the war, they used to congregate and give their services for the Australian Comfort Fund and the ACF, or to collect money to go overseas. Like, a lot of women knitted socks and et cetera for everything for the soldiers. And there was a temporary building in Hyde Park because one night my mother had a set of tails. My father bought them. She used to call it tails. They were two foxtails, and one had come around, and she'd say, "Where are my tails?" And she said they were very warm. Anyway, off we went to this concert, and coming out, it poured rain, and these tails got all, they looked like rat's tails.
But your father performed there?
Yes, he performed there. And there was another concert at the Trocadero, and they did a skit where, I can't remember what it was, but the punchline was, my father came out, because they would do everything at these fundraising concerts. And as I say, all aspects would come together, magicians, jugglers and contortionists, acrobats, they'd all come together to give these free to collect these funds. I don't know how much it was to go, I just don't know. Anyway, they used to do this skit, and there was this skit that it was something to do with butchers. But the punchline was, my father came out across the stage with somebody other else, I don't know, with all these sausages around their neck, you see. Anyway, we, after the show, I remember we went to King's Cross for coffee or something, and King's Cross was lovely in those days. There were lovely little shops and crosses, just a beautiful day. And when we came home, got in here, and my father had all these sausages, bowl of sausages. My mother said, what are you doing with the sausages? She didn't know. He doesn't. You know, he came in, he said, I've got these sausages. What are you doing with the sausages? He said, she said, oh, she said, there are too many there. And he said, oh, well, I think Mrs. Fitzsimmons would like some sausages next door. So she said, yes, 12 o'clock at night.
12 o'clock at night?
12 o'clock at night. So she expected him to say the next morning, again, no. Next thing he goes, he knocks on the door.
But you were going to tell me the punchline of the show.
Well, we don't know what the punchline was, but the punchline was my father arrived across the stage with all these strings of sausage around his neck. I can't remember the buzzer, but the punchline of the joke was, the punchline of the show, that was this. So we get home, we have all these sausages. And yes, you think the neighbours would like some sausages. Yes, said my mother. Well, 12 o'clock at night. No, no. Knocks on the door next night. Knocks on the door and says, Mrs, would you like some sausages?
He worked to a different pattern of, yes, of life and yes, times.
Yes.
Well, Florence, you've been very generous with all these reminiscences and these wonderful photographs. Ah, so,
there is a photograph. And, of course, I wanted to go to... I haven't got it here, but I wanted to go... I can show you anyway. It's upstairs somewhere. I wanted to go to our... Yes, our school balls were a big problem. I want to go as a fairy. My father said, no, you don't go as a fairy. You'll never get a prize as a fairy. Dad, I don't want to get a prize. I want to go as a fairy. No, you won't go as a fairy. And I went as a clown.
Did you get
and
a prize?
I had these feet and that head. I've got the photographs from my lipstick. And I said, but Dad, I want to go as a fairy. No, you won't go as a fairy. You won't stand out. There'll be 10,000 fairies.
So that was never part of your father's act?
No. You won't. Fairies, everybody will be a fairy. You go as a clown. They'll stand out as a clown. I stood out somewhere. I mean, with these bloody big feet and this big head. Couldn't you not miss me? Yes, and I said, Dad, yes. I want to go. This was a problem when we wanted to do something.
Yes.
You had to do it his way because you'd stand, stand out as a clown.
Well, these are wonderful reminiscences, and I'm sure we could talk all day. I think I'm going to have to turn off the machine, but beforehand, thank you very much for this wonderful reminiscence.
I'll tell you one very funny story. There are many funny stories, but my brother was in concert party, and Dad was very keen. We all had to go to the dentist every 6 months. And I still do, right through my life, I go to the dentist every single day, and I still do, because in the theatre, he said, you've got to have good teeth. He had beautiful teeth, 72, had magnificent teeth, and he used to go to Mr. McDermott. Now, this is something. He used to go to Mr. McDermott in Macquarie Street, John McDermott. He did all the theatre people's teeth, and his brother was Emmett McDermott, the Lord Mayor of Sydney.
Hmm.
And he was an orthodontist. However, my father... used to mix up his own toothpaste. Didn't believe in the toothpaste you buy. So he used to mix this toothpaste. It was horrible. We used to throw it out and use it. But he mixed this and this. And my brother wrote from my brother wrote from New Guinea. And the letters were censored, of course. And he said something about the toothpaste. My father said, right. So he made up this tin of toothpaste. Unfortunately, he put it in a Christmas cake tin. And it was round about Christmas. And when James received this up in the islands, up in New Guinea, he thought, Mum was there. Okay. And when he opened it up, it was all this bloody toothpaste. Just and he wrote a letter. And this letter, because everything was cut out, you see. If an ordinary soldier would say, I've just been to Portsmouth, would that be cut out?
Yes.
Well... he must have gone stark raving in this letter because it had, Dear Father and Mother, I, splash, did cut out, did. So I said, I don't think he appreciated that toothpaste.
I think in your father's tradition of entertaining, that's a very good point to stop. Thank you.